Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. It's great to be here. Sure appreciate all of you being with us. Hey, it's Friday. It's Rapid Fire Friday. Rapid Fire Friday. Well, we rapidly fire through our questions, or we try to. But we've done a great job so far this morning. So we ask you to kind of be pithy, get right to your question, to your comment. We'll try to do the same when we answer. And we'll keep on moving through for another 2 hours. Now, we do have an ag report coming up, very important. So we'll get that ag report, and then we'll get right to calls for the next hour and 45 minutes. So keep queuing your call up. We've got one line open right now, so you'll get right in, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. I want to call your attention to a couple of things that I mentioned earlier, and I just got a, it's interesting, I just got a comment on Facebook from Roblin, who said, CC, a new Christian Community Credit Union, CCCU Credit Union, CD paying 4%. Love this credit union. All of FISM partners should have an account with them. That is true. You all should. I don't think you all do, but you need to. I was also talking to somebody at the retreat that just got a 15-year mortgage. Somebody else that I was talking to looking at a 10-year mortgage at a very good rate with CCCU. But they have a 4%. Remember I used to tell you about the 4% CD, but it was only for $2,500. Now they have a CD, 4% CD for new members, 4% CD for $10,000. Look, it's a no-brainer, man. You just, if you don't do anything else, you're never going to get a car loan from them, which I've heard so many good things about. You're never going to get a car loan from them. You're never going to get a mortgage. You're not going to refi. You're not going to do, you don't need, you're not building an addition onto your church. You're not looking for church finance. And let me tell you, I will say this, if you're a pastor, nobody understands church financing better than them. It's one of the reasons they started 65 years ago was to help the church. And they were started by four Baptist pastors to help do the work of the kingdom. And they still have that same mindset. They're amazing. But they understand, you know, you go to a bank to build an addition on your church, and the bank says, wait a minute, you're telling me that you're hoping that people will give this much money over the next year and you're going to pay it off? I mean, that's your source of income? Yeah. I mean, some of them don't even get it. Christian Community Credit Union has a whole department committed to just church and ministry financing. We were looking to buy a building a year ago, 2 years ago, and we went to them, and they were gonna give us the money on a temp. It was a short term loan, but we decided not to do it. But nonetheless, it is great. We don't have any debt. We just couldn't bring myself to doing it, even though it was very short term. But anyway, good stuff. 4% CD. You need to check it out. Just go to the website, financialissues.org. Click on the button. If you're not a partner to the ministry, I hope you'll pray about it, folks. Think about it. We know it's going to be a benefit to you, and we sure hope that you'll come alongside us to keep this ministry growing. You know, between preborn and, you know, I was talking to somebody from First Liberty, and they had emailed me and just thanked us for what we have done for them. Because, man, they are doing some unbelievable kingdom work and work for America. And so grateful to be able to help them in preborn, other ministries, Samaritan Ministries. We've got a wonderful biblically world view. It's far bigger than just biblically responsible credit union. And we're so grateful that we can bring people that are evenly yoked with one another together. But mostly we're grateful because together we are doing a much greater work for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We don't care about the kingdom of financial issues here. We just want financial issues to continue to grow a megaphone so we can continue to do kingdom work in so many different ways. And we are so grateful for the ministries that we get to help, like Preborn, saving tens of thousands of babies, tens of thousands. If you've marched for life, if you have prayed for life, and all of those things, you will actually see what your dollars have done in Preborn. And everybody that I know in this ministry that's affiliated with this ministry that has done it can't thank me enough for bringing and opening their eyes to Mission Preborn. Preborn is an amazing ministry. They supply ultrasound machines along with a evangelism program to pregnancy centers. 4,200 young ladies have accepted Christ over the last few years. It is amazing what is going on. And 80% of them that come in for abortions end up choosing life because they see that ultrasound and hear that heartbeat. And they give it, and Preborn gives them the ultrasound, and every nickel you give goes to the centers. Every nickel. They have a whole separate set of donors that give for administrative expenses. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. Financialissues.org, you can find out information on all these things. All right, we got our ag report. Here's Craig Haugart. We'll be back right after the break. Craig Haugart, very important ag report. It's more important than...
This is Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update for April 25th. The corn market traded lower on plentiful supplies and export concerns. Hope of decent export business is growing dim with big South American crops being harvested. Spring planting has begun with more planters rolling every day here in the United States, and the prevailing wisdom is that very few corn acres will be lost to prevent plant. The weekly ethanol production report showed a week-over-week increase of 32,000 barrels of ethanol per day, while ethanol stocks were unchanged at 22.7 million barrels. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a penny lower. The soybean market traded lower in sympathy with wheat and corn markets. Not all oilseeds were weaker, as the canola market traded higher on lower-than-expected canola-planted acreage in Canada. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading 2 cents higher. The wheat market fell apart on ample global supplies of wheat and favorable weather conditions around the globe. Prices drew additional pressure from a Stats Canada report that pegged Canadian 2019 wheat seedings at 25.7 million acres, which is a 2 million acre increase in Canadian spring wheat this year. Across the pond, favorable weather conditions for the Black Sea region has traders looking for another bumper crop for Ukraine and Russia. Finally, the market was also pressured by strength in the U.S. dollar. In the overnight trade, Chicago is a penny lower, while Kansas City is unchanged, and Minneapolis is trading 2 cents higher. Cotton continued its retreat to the low end of the trading range as July futures closed down 79 points, settling at 77.12. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 26 points higher. Livestock had a split session, with cattle getting beat up while hogs moved higher. Cattle took it on the chin as word came out that beef had been recalled after possible detection of E. coli in a Georgia meatpacking plant. June live cattle were down $2.77.5, while August feeder cattle were $2.97.5 lower. June lean hogs had a stronger day as they closed 40 cents higher for the session. Class 3 milk futures made another incremental gain, with June futures up 3 points as they settled at 16.09. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading at 16.10. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were $1.15 lower at $232.96, while selects were 98 cents lower, settling at $220.28. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $1.94 lower as they settled at $86.98.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. Well, it's Rapid Fire Friday. We're going to get to calls. Want to get to your questions. We've got one line open, 844-707-5533. We've got an hour and 45 minutes. We're going to take as many calls as we can. That's what we do on Rapid Fire. Now, you've got to help me out. Nobody can help me on Rapid Fire because I'm horrible. So I ask you guys to be good. Since I'm so bad, you're probably better. You'd be better at this. Your side of it. What your role is to keep things short and to the point. My role is to keep things short and to the point, which fails me most of the time. So if we have a poor rapid fire that's not rapid firing, it's usually because of me. So we do have a line open, though, 844-707-5533. You'll probably go back. So many of you go back. You listen to the podcast and such. Of the first hour, the third hour, and an hour that you might have missed, and you'll go back and do that. And you hear me talk about this in the first hour, and I'm not going to talk about it at length like I did. But we are so excited about something that we are doing for the kingdom, an amazing work that I mean you and us here, all of us at Financial Issues, and all of you, our Financial Issues family. Man, I am so excited about this. And I'll tell you, I was on a conference call yesterday with two other men that were working this with. And I'll tell you something, I was so excited. And all I could do was just pray and give praise of how what we are doing came together. And this is going to be something so near and dear to your heart, my heart, and the Lord's heart, and we is going to be awesome. So I'm really excited about it. I don't know yet. My goal is to announce, it's got nothing to do with me, but I want to announce it on Monday. We just got to make sure everybody is ready. But we want to announce it on Monday, and it's going to be a wonderful thing, and I'm really excited about it, and you are too. It's going to be a Mother's Day celebration like we've never had before. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, we're going to go to phones, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Mike. Mike's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I've been a partner for a couple of years, and I had a couple questions here on two different stocks that are down, and they're not on your buy list currently, but mm-hmm. I thought about buying them down a little bit and wanted to get your opinion on that.
Okay.
HC41.
Okay.
And E31.
Okay, so HC41 is in the midst of, first of all, they're both small cap, you know, they're fairly aggressive, big swings. HC41 more so because of what they are doing. They're a small pharmaceutical healthcare kind of stock. And they are in the midst of some trials and on their oncology support drugs. And it didn't go real well at the start of the trials. And it really tanked the stock a little bit. And now what the latest on the stock is that it is they've upped the dosage with great success, meaning that they upped the dosage and there was no ill side effects or anything like that. And so they feel pretty good about the results with the new dosage that they might have. So there's a little bit more optimism coming back to the stock. Now, I wouldn't buy it down here. I would watch it, and I would see if it starts turning up. and that we can get a 30-day number. I'm saying this, and I haven't even looked at it. So, I you know, in the last few days, I don't know if anything has happened. But if we start to look, even if you get a 30-day, like you pull up a 30-day chart, and it's now positive by a half of 1% or something, it is not likely in 30 days, if it starts, the trajectory starts to go positive, to run up, you know, anywhere near your original cost basis. So you still have a chance to dollar cost average down on it. But I would rather you buy it on the uptick, on a trajectory of, you know, north as opposed to the trajectory of south. So I would just hold off on that. I'm still okay with the company and what they're doing. I feel like you know, this is very, very typical of these types of stocks. I always kind of put that warning out about micro cap, small cap pharmaceuticals. You know, they're not, you got to remember that most of them are of the mindset, they're not trying to build a company. It's not what they're doing. They don't really care about building a company. What they're doing is doing enough research and development, taking the place of the R&D that another big pharmaceutical might do. And generally what happens, the bigger pharmaceuticals come along and they buy it. They're really buying the R&D and the promise of a particular drug. And then they're out of the business. The owners all make millions of dollars and they move on. So that's kind of, so it's really a kind of a hard beast to manage because they think so differently. They're not a logical kind of, we're going to build the next Johnson & Johnson. They're not, you know, they don't think like that. So it's a little bit harder with these kinds of companies, and it requires more patience. So I would keep it. I wouldn't even think about selling it, but I wouldn't buy it down. Just keep watching it for that 30-day move up.
Gotcha. Okay.
The energy stock that you're talking about, E31, that's a little bit of a different story, obviously. A little bit more stable, doesn't look like it when you think about it. It's only down about 4% on the year, but nonetheless, it does have good valuations. Again, it would not be a stock that I would call a buy here right now or the dollar cost average. You know, it's down probably... I'm trying to get a chart up while I'm talking to you here on that one. But anyway, I know it's, you know, it's, okay, so it's down about $8. That's pretty significant for a stock this size. I mean, it's down about $8 off its 52-week high. I would just tell you that this is going to be, you know, a slower stock to come back. Because of some of the issues that they're having in the mountains of Appalachia and Pennsylvania and the shale that they're working in. The upside is that oil is getting more expensive, and they are probably working frantically to get more going on it while they can take advantage of some of the higher prices. Another company, though, kind of the same deal. I'd probably wait for a 30-day uptick. It's just not going to move as big as the other company. This is, you know, something that, you're going to have to be very patient on. I would not call this a buy either, but one that you just hang on to. Dollar cost average at some point. If you've already dollar cost averaged down from where you bought it, I probably would leave it alone. But if you had an average share price of this on this stock, of about $11, $11 or $12, I think that would be good. So maybe you wait a little bit, look at it, and see if you can get it on the uptick.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I was looking for. Appreciate it, Dan.
All right, Mike, thank you. I appreciate your partnership so much. Really do. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, God bless. Let me go to Annie, Martin. Martin calling us from Mississippi. Hey, Martin.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Good.
Good. I work for AMP, and I have, they issue restricted stock units, I guess is the right name. I wondered if it is good to hold or sell those out as that becomes available
Did you say A.M. as in Michael T.? Okay.
A.M.T., correct.
A.M.T., okay. So I would hold on to it. I mean, this is one of my favorite companies. Like, you know, I have a handful, a little basket of really favorite companies. This is one of them. I think this company is an amazing company and you may not feel it, but it's a cash cow. It's just a cash cow. It's one of these companies that I don't know how they could ever lose money, to be honest with you. I know that is really a ridiculous statement to make, and I don't mean to say that it couldn't crash. It hasn't been on my buy list. People always say to me about this, they look at it on my broad list, and they say, why is this not paying any dividends? Because they don't have to. So they're not going to. I mean, they pay very little dividend for a real estate investment trust and what they do. But they don't have to. They don't need to. It's very sound, very strong company, and this is not going to do it. You know, so it's really a sign of strength more than anything. But yeah, I mean, I would be. I don't want you as an employee of the company. Be very, very careful, because as much as you like the company or I like the company, you don't want to be too overweighted in your 401k or have a lot of your future wealth tied up in one stock, regardless of how good it is. You don't want to do that. And then at that point, if that's starting to look really heavy, then of course sell off and capture some of that gain so that you can diversify into some other things.
Okay, that's good. That's very helpful. I appreciate it.
Good. All right, thank you. Thank you, Martin. Glad you called. Good stuff. 844-707-5533. We got two lines open. 844-707-5533. Rapid fire. I'm trying. We'll get right back to phones after this break. 844-707-5533, folks. If you have contemplated or thought about becoming a partner, boy, this would be a great time. We have been in a bit of a struggle mode here at the ministry. I'm okay. God is going to be faithful, I know. And I am still very encouraged, but boy, it would be a blessing to us, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. Welcome back, Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. It's rapid fire. We've got an hour and a half of rapid firing to do. Also, we will get to your Facebook questions. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing on your Facebook, on our Facebook questions, is keep it short, right to the point. The biggest problem that I have with the Facebook questions is a lot of times I have no idea whether I'm talking to a 25-year-old or a 65-year-old. And there's a very different line of thought for me based on that. So it's always helpful if you can give me just a little bit of information. I don't need, you know, a paragraph, but if you just give me a little bit of basic information, hey, I'm retiring in 2 years, or hey, I, you know, just gotta, you know, I'm not gonna retire for 30 years or whatever, just a little bit of information that would help. Thank you. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Jill. Jill's calling us from Texas. Hey, Jill.
Hey, hi, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning.
I always listen to your show every day.
Thank you.
Even I don't understand what are the different funds or stock, but yeah. I am interested to be a partner of your ministry.
Well,
and I want to start savings and account.
Good.
And decided to open an account at Timothy, but I don't know where and how to start. Can you please advise me?
Sure. So is it a type of an account, Jill, that you're going to put, is it an IRA account?
Yes, okay. I have a 401k from an old employer, but it is still sitting there. I did not move it yet.
Okay. So is this going to be something that you're going to contribute to, like every payday or something?
But that will be traditional account if I have to move that, right? I want a Roth IRA where you said that There's no taxes after, yeah.
Yeah, that's better. But is the Roth at Timothy, are you going to contribute to that?
Yes, every month, like $150 a month per paycheck.
Okay, great, great.
To start.
Okay, so here's what I think I'd like to see you do. How many years away from retirement are you, Jill?
I'm already 50.
Okay, so I would probably have at least 40% in their large mid-cap growth fund, or make that value fund. I'm sorry, value growth fund. Mm-hmm. And there is something that I'd want you to make sure you keep some of that uninvested, maybe 20%, just just sitting, leave it in their money market account or something, because there's a couple things that are to be announced that I've been talking about that I would wait and hold off for that. So that'll be at the end of this month, just in a couple of weeks. And I would want you to split some of that in there. I would have 5% in their fixed income fund. I would have 10% in their Israel Common Values Fund. I would have 5% in their small cap fund.
Is that?
What's that? I'm sorry.
When you say small cap?
Yeah.
What is that?
Small company. Fund. They'll know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I would have another 30% in their large cap growth. So you're going to have some in their large cap value and some in their large cap growth. The rest of it, I would leave it sit for a little bit in the money market.
Okay.
So when you only have to tell them this once, so then every time you send a contribution, it'll automatically get dispersed like that, those percentages into those funds.
Okay. And how can I be a member? I want to be a member, and my family also, I want them also to be a part of your ministry.
So you can just go to financialissues.org, and when you go there, you'll see become a partner, and you just click on that, and it walks you through what you need to do.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jill. I sure appreciate your call, and thank you for wanting to become a partner. I appreciate that. God bless. Have a great weekend.
God bless, Dan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let me go to Annie. Annie's calling us from Texas. Hey, Annie.
Hey, good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Yes, the reason that I'm calling is I'm a fairly new listener, and I have two questions. One has to do with what do you do if you're 10 to 15 years from retirement, and in your retirement program, there are no biblically responsible mutual funds as choices? They have limited choices.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you do, and you know, like looking at what's available, and, you know, the choices are not, you know, what I would choose if I want to be biblically responsible, but,
right.
You know, so then what?
So.
And then my second.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Second question, and maybe it will tie in, is, you know, we've been investing in an IRA. We didn't qualify for a Roth, otherwise we would be. But then I've heard about a backdoor Roth IRA. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Okay.
So
that's my other question.
Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of the backdoor Roth, not because there's anything wrong with it in and of itself, of what you do there. I don't have a problem with that. What I am more concerned with is the obsession that everybody has about, you know, Roth IRAs, traditionals, 401ks, you know, all of eventually someday people retire and all of their wealth is tied up into qualified money, into monies that are regulated, monies that are sometimes they have limitations on them. And yes, there are tax advantages that are wonderful in a Roth IRA. But even at that, I would say, look, maximize your Roth IRA if you want to do that. But let's not try to even get more in it. At some point in time, we've got to make a conscious effort to just have a plain old regular investment account. I have worked over the years pretty hard to turn my investments, the majority of them, into an investment account than are in an IRA account of some sort. I want to have the control and the freedom, even though there may be a slight tax consequence. I want to have the control and the freedom someday to be able to do whatever I want without being dictated to of what I can or can't do, and without the uncertainty of thinking that the codes or the rules can change. So I would rather you not be doing a backdoor Roth. I would rather you have additional discretionary income, and I would rather you do that in a joint investment account, just an investment account.
I know what I mean?
So I think that makes more sense, so that you have some wealth that is unencumbered with any kind of rules or regulations. The choices that you have in your 401k, do they match?
Yes, they do, and that's one reason that.
And how much do they match? What percent?
I think it's like 5%.
Okay.
I think it's 5.
Okay, so your goal could be one thing you could do that I suggest sometimes is to do your 5% match and double your money. You know, get that free money.
Yeah.
That's very important. You have to do that. And do that in they're responsible enough to have some sort of government bond fund that they offer in that account. And I would put that money in the government bond fund. That's going to be biblically responsible. And it's going to be your conservative position of all the money you have. So when I look at someone's money, I look at all their accounts as one pot of money. So when I want people to look at our asset allocation model and say, okay, I got to have 7% of this in energy, I want them to understand that means 7% of their entire pot of money, not just one account. So all of your aggressive, your equities, your aggressive positions, your growth positions, can be in other accounts that you can control, and you can use your 401k as your account for your conservative preservation kinds of investing. And that's really the only way you can be totally biblically responsible, you know, when you're still contributing to your 401k. And it'll work really well for you. You know, it'll work really well for you. I think it'll work better.
Right. That's a really good suggestion. One question that my husband and I did have while we were, you know, like kind of talking about, you know, where to put things, is how does that work that it's biblically responsible with government, you know, bonds or, you know, anything government sponsored, municipals or anything like that, you know, and yes, it does come up as biblically responsible, but if the government itself, you know, allows for abortion and, you know,
yeah,
things like that, like we were kind of confused by that. And I know we have to pay taxes.
You know what, Jill, it is a great question. Annie, I'm sorry. It is a great, great question. And I'm going to answer that right after the break. You're welcome.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. I was talking to Annie from Texas, and she had a great question in reference to how are we biblically responsible by owning a bond through a municipality or a state or the federal government, and they're supporting all the garbage that some of the companies that aren't biblically responsible are supporting, or they're allowing all the garbage and so on and so forth. So to break that down is simply, we are buying, when you buy a bond, any bond, you're buying a debt instrument. So your money, you're taking, the only thing that you're taking ownership in is, you know, this particular loan. And the argument would be, which frankly is probably there's some legitimacy to it, but the argument would be, well, I own debt, right? That's what a bond is. A bond is debt. So I own debt. In other words, I'm lending money to a state so that that state can use my money to, in the case of a federal government, to finance their debt, and they're using it for that. And because I've lent them that money, they're paying me a little interest for the loan. That's what it is. That's all that a bond is. So I would use the same discussion about that as I would in a company situation, that we don't want to take ownership in a company that is profiting by those, or profiting by or using their profit. This is where the rub is, maybe in a bond, but using the profits of the company to support things that grieve the heart of God and are counter to God's word. But the difference is we're taking an ownership in that company. When we own one share, we now are an owner of that company. That's why that's the argument for it's not gambling. We have ownership in it. We're not flushing it down the toilet. We have ownership. And a bond, you could argue that you're funding the debt that the state is in, or the federal government is in. You're funding that debt. You're lending a government money. And some of that debt that they're in is part of their overall budget that is supporting Planned Parenthood. So the federal government says $600 million dollars a year to Planned Parenthood, over $500 million. And somehow that's in the debt mix, right? And so if we buy a government bond, are we supporting that? And it's really, they're not profiting by it. We don't own any part of the government, but we are funding that debt. And so it is a difficult, on the other hand, if I fund the debt of, General Electric, if I fund their debt, that is a company that is owning and profiting by the things that they're engaged in, and they're profiting by. It's a little bit different, but so I would be the first to admit that one could argue, and I've had these discussions in great depth, that one could argue that it's difficult. You know, I don't want to own Chinese debt because of the human rights violations. But, you know, we have that here in America, too, and in some states to a certain extent, not to the extent of that, but it doesn't matter. It's all wrong. So, you know, it's really a tough call. The only thing that we can hang our hat on is the ownership aspect of it, which is non-existent in a bond as it is in a company.
Well, by the same argument, then the question that we were having is, okay, so if it's okay to own government bonds and the government participates in this, how is it okay, and how is it not okay to own bond funds that maybe fund the debt or, you know, whatever, of General Electric or Apple or Microsoft?
Well, it isn't okay. You know, it isn't okay. That
it
so,
is not.
So that would not be biblically responsible. So in other words, I would never have a bond fund unless it's a government bond fund. That's the issue. So if General Electric is issuing bonds, or I'll tell Aramco, you know, that's in the news, all the bonds that they're issuing, you know, $100 billion worth of debt, everybody's buying it up. That company is not a biblically responsible company. And you're taking, you know, it's a different kind of bond. And there's 100 of those companies, well, maybe not 100, 80 to 120 of those companies inside a bond mutual fund. So it's very different. So a bond mutual fund generally has corporate bonds, and not all of them. And that's why if it's designated as a government bond fund, then it is. Now, there may be some other sovereign nations government debt in that, but it's not like a mutual fund bond fund.
But the reason that bond funds would be wrong with regards to owning corporate bonds versus government bonds is what? I'm having a hard time seeing the distinction.
Yeah, so the difference is that company is either actively engaged in or is using the company's profit to engage in these other, you know, these things like abortion and gambling and those kinds of things. There is an ownership component to a corporate bond that is not in a double E bond. And that's the only difference. That's the only distinction. You know, it's always going to come down to the ownership of the company. Many corporate bonds are convertible, which you would have no control over. Many corporate bonds do not have restrictions on the amount of equity positions that they are funding through that or are taking ownership in. I would say 80% have that stipulation. It's getting longer. I remember when it was 40% just 10 years ago. So that's a growing area of bond funds, and that's because of the banking rule changes. But so there is a... That's the distinction. So is that you're funding the debt, and sometimes you're funding the debt of a company that is actively a part of that business. For instance, that will have casino bond funds and banking, but casino especially, or companies that are actually engaged in the entertainment industry with that part of that, not supporting in any way pornography, actually profiting by that. And they're the kinds of things that are a little bit different in the corporate bond funds that are in there because they're very high yield funds. They pay very good returns. So it is a fine line. There is a difference. And the only place you can draw the difference is ownership over no ownership. So it is a government bond is a much cleaner funding of debt, for lack of better, in from an ownership perspective.
Right. And then there's that argument for not paying your taxes because you don't want to be involved with it either.
Yeah. I mean, and it would be the same kind of argument, you know. But that's just the law, you know. I mean,
sure.
I don't go to that argument. It's a very contentious.
All right.
Okay,
well, thank you.
All right, Annie. Thank you. I appreciate the call. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Carlton real quick in Texas.
Here
Carlton.
Go.
Go, man.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
I'm good. I'm good.
Just want to say that my wife, she was at the Gaylord, and she said she had a wonderful time. She was so impressed that you and your wife, she came back talking about how humble you guys was. She was the African-American lady that was sitting back in the back.
Oh, yeah, she was sitting next to Yvonne. She was sitting next to Yvonne most of the time, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
Your wife has such a humble spirit. So thank God for that. But I just got off the phone with Vanguard.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you ever got that answer, but they do have the Timothy Fund.
Oh, good. Good. I thank you for that. No, I didn't get that answer, and I didn't go any further with it. I was dependent on somebody calling. So thank you for that.
I just got off the phone. They do have it. My question is, I am 57 years old this month. I am retired. I have a pension. We have no credit card debt. My house is paid for. And I have about $300,000 in my 401. And I just wanted to know, where do I go from here with that? She did get the card. We've been trying to get into the Christian Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
And she did get the Senior Vice President card. But where do we go from here, Dan? I guess what I'm asking.
Yeah, what you want to do is, you know, that 401k, you need to get that into a place that you can be flexible. I'm gonna talk to you a little bit off the air as soon as I put you on hold. But I gotta come up at the end of this hour here. So,
okay, I can wait.
Yeah. Hang on, Carlos. Folks, you're listening to Financial Issues. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful day of worship on Sunday as you praise our Lord and Savior. Have a